You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live here to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we're discussing parenthood, what it means to be a parent, and how to give and show support outside of your immediate family, and what that can create for you and for others. You know, in our society today, there is a father factor in our nation's worst social problems. It seems that the U.S. Census recently, 24 million children in America, one out of every three, live in biological father absent homes. 9 in 10 American parents agree that this has become a crisis. You know, consequently, there is a father factor in nearly all the social issues facing America today. You know, but the hope lies in the fact that children with involved fathers do better across every measure of child well-being than their peers that have a fatherless house. You know, what does it mean to be a father? What does it mean to be a mother? And that's what we're going to be exploring on tonight's show. You know, a father and a mother are people who have a child, raise the child, and they're there for that child. You know, they co-created the child and have a duty and a responsibility to the child they created. Billy Boy, how you doing tonight?
Doing wonderful, Ashley. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. We're talking parenthood. It's kind of interesting.
You know, it's a subject that's kind of near and dear to my heart. I'm not a parent myself, but obviously I have a family who have children, and so and also, you know, my parents were divorced when I was a child. So I definitely want to see what you have in mind for us tonight.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing what we have in store as well. I think it's pretty cool. Eric, how you doing?
Yo. Hey, Ashley, thanks for writing this show, especially for me, because I might be the only father in the room tonight.
Well, father that you know of.
Yes. How many are there, Bill? Yes. How many are there?
I have no idea. They haven't caught up to me yet.
Yeah. Anybody that's listening to this show, we're going to show pictures as well of the mugshot of Bill, just in case you might know him or your mother might know him. We'll get back to that later on tonight. But no, think about that. Yeah. Father and mother scenario, right? Yeah. They create this child. You have a child. You do all this stuff. You go through 9 months of pregnancy. And then what? And it's like a lot of times I think people just ditch the duty of being a parent.
Unfortunate. You know, Ashley, the best job that I have, and I've got a lot of jobs, is being a dad. As long as I can remember being a kid, I've always wanted to be a dad because I knew what having a father, a stepfather, and a grandfather who basically was my father growing up, I know what that felt like. And I've always wanted to reciprocate that to my own kids. I'd have 10 kids a day if I could afford it. Different conversation with my wife, but I'd have 10 if I could afford it. Got three, that's enough, but could have 10 if I could afford it.
Would you homeschool them if you had 10?
Ooh, wow. Yeah, I think so. If all conditions were supportive of that, yeah, I think so. I think that could be a lot of fun.
I think you should have a band.
In the ideal world, you could do all that.
Well, the Partridge Family.
I was going to say Partridge Family. Yeah, you know,
yeah. That's cool. Yeah, yeah. I had this family that used to live down the street from me when I was young, and they had like 13 kids. Mm. 13 kids. And so I was friends with like the youngest and like the eldest.
Wow.
That was so wild. And they homeschooled them. And I was thinking, yeah. I'm surprised that mother hasn't just freaked out. I mean, those kids, it was like stair steps, you know, stair steps.
Some people are built for that.
I was going to say, I know some people that it's just right up their alley.
Yeah. Yeah.
They love that kind of stuff.
And I know other people who would probably take a you know, Brody off the bridge or something, you know?
I'm ending it all. It's over with. It's never going to be good for me.
You know, that's funny, Ash. I was looking at some old files, family files, and my grandparents were from the generation where you'd have that many kids, you know, been from East Texas and all of that. And I remember, you know, looking at it with my wife, and it's like for the first 20 years, 25 years of her life, she was pregnant all the time. So it takes a special kind of person. And therein lies the beauty and specialness, if you will, if that's a word, of being a parent.
I agree with you. I mean, I think it's interesting how, you know, I wish that they could have to take a test. And I know people like argue with that. But I think, you know, you have to take a test to get a driver's license, right? I mean, and that's just a driver's license. I mean, I think you should have to take a battery of tests to have children.
I'm all for the IQ test, which would eliminate, in my opinion, about 2/3 of the people on the planet, as far as I'm concerned.
See, and that would be like population control as well. You go to jail if you have a child outside of the IQ evaluation, done. You aren't having any child, go on. Go just do something else. Go figure it out.
Fix them, you know? Just take them to the vet, you know?
Hey, many, many societies and dictators in the past have tried that, and it didn't work out too well.
Yeah.
I'm still laughing. Take him to the vet. Take him over there. You know, wait. Fluffy's going to have to wait a second.
I was going to say that then your child looks at you like your dog looks at you after you spay or neuter them. You know, it's like, what did you do?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, the puppy dog guys.
Help. You know, that's funny. Okay, you know, so a parent realizes that, you know, I think by having a parent, you're responsible for that child. You're teaching that child every day. And I thought this was interesting. I had like this, you know, come to Jesus moment. And, you know, a child learns from watching his or her parents. You know, they learn from what? The example, right? We as parents, or if you are a parent, you are the example for your children. And you know, in that situation, it means that the children, I think at that point in time, once they get old enough to have deductive reasoning, they can kind of figure things out. However, you know, I remember just seeing the ad on TV. Remember that one back in the day when the father walks in and the kid's over there doing like cocaine? And he's like, kid, you know, why are you doing drugs? And he's like, I learned it from watching you, Dad. I remember that commercial.
Oh, yes.
You remember that? I learned it from you, Dad. I learned it from you.
I mean, this is a trite way of putting it, but monkey see, monkey do. You know, I mean, children are a lot more attentive than you think they're. Even when you think they're not paying attention or going out of their way to not pay attention to you, they really are paying attention.
Well, because you're their whole solar system. I mean, like, yeah. Honestly, you are their whole solar system, the parent is. That's
food
all they
source,
see.
Food source, everything.
You know, the bank source, you know. You would know about that, huh, Eric?
Yeah, I got daughters.
Dad, I need some cash.
I got
help me out. No, but it's true. It's like a lot of times people don't realize that when you have a child, I mean, this child is going to look up to you for everything, and they're going to basically copy you because they don't know that you're wrong. They don't know that what you're, you know, initiating or planning is not correct. I mean, they take it as face value, and until they really have the ability to have deductive reasoning and see other people living and realize what mom and dad are doing aren't right, if that's the case, they can't figure that out till later on, and that might have already done so much damage that they're not going to even realize unless they're actually surrounded by positive people for a long period of time.
Yeah, you know, I look at it, Ashley and Bill, and we all have our faults as human beings, as individuals. As I get older, I realize that my parents were just trying to figure it out themselves, and so I've become a little bit less aggressive in regards to being upset about certain things, but my being a father for me equalized me. It helped me be a better person. It made me realize that the things that I do are being watched, are being copied, are being taken, you know, as reality. And so for me, it's equalized me. I go home at a certain hour. The things that I say are more thought out. The things that I do are more nourishing, if you will, to the mind, body, and spirit. And so for me, it's been a really good thing that I welcome, especially as a man.
Well, you know, Erica, I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, even though I'm not a parent myself, to me, the essence of parenthood is you put your children's welfare ahead of your own.
Yeah.
Yes.
It means making certain sacrifices in your life.
Making certain sacrifices. And you know what? Sacrifice may be too aggressive a word, because I look at it as things I really probably didn't need. It's made my life a lot simpler. It orbits around those kids and putting them in the best position to be productive human beings on the planet. And hopefully, and this is what I tell my kids, I want you to be a million times better than I ever thought I could be.
Well, think about that. Like when you're on a plane, right? And so they always say, if we lose cabin pressure, you know, you're supposed to put the mask on yourself and then your child, just so you have the ability to like reason, you know, because you're not supposed to be all woozy and unable to breathe trying to do this. But at the same time, you're doing that so that you're consciously. I mean, a lot of people always laugh about that. They're like, yeah, let the child go. Screw it. It's over. We're all going down. No, but seriously, it's true. You want to always put that child first.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so important. Like I've been thinking about children lately, and I realized that in order to think about children, I mean, I've been weighing the pros and cons and the timing out so much. And I know that that's different for most people because sometimes it just happens.
It just happens, yeah.
But when it's not just happening, I mean, you can kind of do some planning and figuring it out, but sometimes you can just plan your way right out of having children.
There you go. Some, you know, some things are just natural, you know, and some things in nature and some things in our universe you just can't plan for. So for me, it was – you know, planned. A couple of them were planned. One wasn't planned, or vice versa. But at the regardless, you got this beautiful little baby that you're looking at. And there's nothing like when you're in the delivery room and your wife has the baby and the baby comes out. And as a dad, you're the first person that the child really sees. And you realize at that point that I have a tremendous amount of responsibility to take care of this child.
That is good a point. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about a study that recently came out examining behavioral problems with children that don't have a father in the home. Also, we're going to continue our discussion on what parenthood means and how you can actually sow support outwardly to other people, not necessarily your immediate family, and show them care for people that might not have family as well. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, you know what? We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's Perspectives, we're discussing parenthood, what it means to be a parent, and how to give and show support outside of your immediate family, and what that does for creating others' happiness. You know, earlier in the last segment, we were discussing the father factor, how, you know, basically there's a lot of families right now, 24 million children actually in America, that have no biological father living in the home. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And because of that, you know, there's a lot of issues that can spawn from that. And one of the biggest studies that I read about the other day was that the father involvement. I think they took about 130, 150 children, and they did a span of 10 years. And the research found that the father-child contact was associated with better socioeconomic and academic functioning. And the results indicated that these children with more involved fathers, right, experienced what? Fewer behavioral problems, they scored higher on reading and achievement, and it showed a significance of the role of the fathers in the lives of at-risk children, even in cases of non-residential fathers. So even in the case where the father doesn't live in the home, mm-hmm. but they're able to spend time with the dad, it changed their entire life. I mean, that's amazing. Think about that. When a child is missing a dad, how important that integral part is.
You know, Ashley, I'm going to say something controversial here.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I know where you're going.
I think you know where I'm going.
Buckle in.
Here we go. I think that this is where one of the few cases where feminism has failed women in our country. Okay. Now, generally speaking, I'm all for equal rights and stuff like that. Okay. One of the tenets of feminism is that, okay, ladies, you can have it all. You can have a career, a family, and all that good stuff. All right. And I think that in the real world, maybe it might be wrong to say most or even, you know, over half, but I think in many, many cases, just like the cases that you cited, I think women are finding out that you know, it's kind of hard to have it all.
I agree with you. And I think there's another side of the coin too. Think about that other side. And we're not talking about this because, you know, we don't want to like point fingers or name names. But think about a lot of these women, and I'm just being honest, that have babies that aren't married. They're not with somebody. They get pregnant, and then the guy's not there.
Well, Erica, let me see what you think about this. Because, you know, in the old days, okay, when, you know, pre-feminism, when women had a lot of less choices in life, okay, still there was a certain amount of protection for them. In the case of, okay, you want to date my daughter and get her pregnant, then, you know, you're going to have a shotgun in your face.
Yeah, right? Like the old South.
You're going to do the right thing, okay? But, I think this is an unintended consequence of feminism. You know, when women said, you know what, I don't need to depend on a man. I can have it all. Men said, okay, you know, I can get the benefits without the responsibilities.
So you can lease the cow.
There's no accountability for men. For men, what do you think?
And I just think we as a society are equally at fault. And the reason I say that, I think, you know, life is about a pendulum to a degree. And I think in the old days, it was too far one way. In trying to correct it, it went too far the other way. And I think we're in a society now that is seeing the results of devaluing fathers and devaluing what men can actually offer the equation. But I think as we get through this, and our society is suffering, I mean, let's not understate that. Ashley shared some statistics earlier, and that's the real deal. But as we get through this, I think we'll come out hopefully in a better place. One of the things I always talk about is you really don't understand a father until he's gone. okay? You know, like families that have fathers, and then when dad passes away, then you realize, you know, dad, we didn't realize how much he did.
Because he worked all the time.
Because he worked all the time.
But you know what? I really do believe, Eric, you know what you were talking about earlier about how the role of the father seems to be kind of a smaller deal. You know, in Canada, it wasn't until like a few years ago that the father, I mean, like 15 years ago, that the father could actually be in the room of the birth.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, it's like, well, what the heck is that about? I mean, he should be right there going, push it out, way out. Yeah. I mean, it's at what point, what does that mean? You know, the father?
It's the old days, like 15 years ago?
It's
the old days where you had to wait in the waiting room smoking cigarettes.
It's the old paradigm, but I think, you know, science and, you know, another thing to point out in Europe, on the opposite end of that equation, in Europe, fathers get leave for having kids. I mean, they get a couple of months off paternity leave. So I just think that we as a society have to look at how the family as a whole and understand that those roles work together, father, mother, or however your family dynamic is set up. But a father makes a difference. He's a steadying presence. He's an anchoring presence. But it's also the responsibility of that father, because just because you're a father doesn't make you a good father.
Oh, absolutely.
Also, just because you're a mother doesn't automatically give you a card to make you a good mother.
Right. You know, actually, if I had my way, okay, then all women would be required to take the Beyonce pledge. If you like it, put a ring on it.
So you would have everybody get married before they have a child, right?
Well, maybe not married. I mean,
but at least understand that
there should be a level of commitment. And women, I think women need to hold men accountable.
Well, I think so too. And I mean, there is a little bit of, closing those legs. I mean, there is a point about, life, and also about taking, responsibility for your actions. I mean, there is a thing called birth control pills. There's about 9 different birth control options out there, honestly. Okay, let's think about this. And I mean, mistakes happen. However, it's like the mistake can't, you have a child. I mean, this child has to go through life. This child you're going to have for at least 18, but you're going to have this child for the rest of their lives.
And it pains me so much. I was in California last week, and you guys know, and one of the statistics that I heard broken out in ethnic groups, but on average, over nearly 50% of the kids today, to your point, Ashley, are born in households that don't have a father. Think about that. Think about that.
And I'm not saying, I agree with you. That's insane. But think about, I'm not saying that everybody has to be a certain father. Like it has to be one father, one mother. But I do think that two parents do make up a whole to a degree.
Absolutely.
With the child.
It makes a difference. It's the whole child, not just half of the child. And I, I've got a young boy. And for me, it's about, and daughters, but especially for my boy, it's about setting an example for him on what a father is and what a father does and how a father presents himself, and that's a big deal.
I don't think, as far as many of the fathers that are portrayed in our media today, that is the best example. I think in some of the portrayal in olden days, we had, the Laura Ingalls story where Pa was the strong central figure, and I think that we don't see a lot of that on our TV and in our movies these days. Right. A lot of it makes this fear of fatherhood that comes forward.
That's for our listeners. That's Chris, by the way. He's behind the glass.
Chris
tonight.
In the house. What's going on, Chris?
In the house. No, I agree.
Speaking
with
up
you.
For fathers.
That's
baby.
A very interesting concept. Think about it. I was talking about TV the other day, and I was talking about how throughout our years we have more and more. And I don't mean to use the word liberal. I'm not going to say that. But you had these separate homes, and then you had the mother raising the child on your own, or you had the dad raising the child on your own. But you don't see a lot of strong fathers there that really care, that are there with their kids. And you're right, you don't see that portrayed on TV that much. You just don't.
I think the last one, and speaking of fatherhood, someone who wrote one of the more famous books on fatherhood, Bill Cosby, the Cosby Show back in the 80s. Both of them had careers, both the mother and the father there, but they still were the bosses of the house, and they took an active role in raising their children.
Bingo, and that's it. You have to. I mean, think about it. I'm going to go back, and when my first daughter was born here in Dallas, Medical City, not far from the studio here, I was in that delivery room, and I go back to it, man, and I'm not ashamed to share it. But when she came out, and I looked at her, and the little curly hair, and all of that, and those eyes, and all those things, and they cut the umbilical cord, I went to that bathroom and I cried because it meant so much to me as a father.
There's no shame in that at all.
And even today, it's an awesome responsibility that I take pride in. And it's different for everybody, but we got to realize that these kids don't raise themselves. They don't.
And you're right. And, but, you know, parents are grown-up children, and I know that that's an issue, too. They have their problems. You know, the absence of parents do contribute, though, to the emotional, the behavioral problems, incarceration, the crime, the teen pregnancy, sexual activity, child abuse, drug and alcohol abuse, childhood obesity, and level education that the child will achieve. You know, when Perspectives returns, I'm actually talking with Michael Irvin, former Dallas Cowboy Hall of Fame recipient and father, about what fatherhood means to him and what he's going to do to educate and encourage men to be better fathers. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. Well, we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's Perspectives, we've been discussing parenthood, what it means to be a parent, and moving that thought process towards humanity and adapting it for your friends and others who live daily without family support. You know, fatherhood is such an amazing experience, and sadly, there is an absence of fathers in the United States taking care of their children. You know, children are being raised without a dad, and it's directly correlating with crime, incarceration, drugs, alcohol abuse, and you know what? The list goes on. You know, after doing some research, I realized that our own Michael Irvin, former Dallas Cowboy Hall of Fame recipient and father, would be a perfect person to ask about fatherhood. You know, ever since his speeches and his Hall of Fame induction, he's been spreading the word and helping fathers be better fathers. And you know what? Being better men. Well, I'm sitting here with Michael Irvin. I'm very blessed to be here today.
Yes, thank you. I'm blessed to be here.
You know, I was thinking about you. I was thinking about the Cowboys. I was thinking about sports. You're a husband, you're a father, and I think nowadays, I think we need to kind of switch that around. I think that fatherhood is probably the most important thing to you right now.
It actually is, Ashley. And what I'm doing, as I tell people, I said, man, God has given me an opportunity to use what I love the most, which is playing football, to do what I love the most, which is be a father, and to try to reach other fathers and tell them and encourage them and try to strengthen them to get back on their post. I think the issue of fatherlessness is, it's not that I think, I know the issue of fatherlessness is one of the greatest issues our country is facing today. And God has placed it on my heart. Ever since 2007, when I stepped off that podium after giving that Hall of Fame speech, it's been a real, what I call, paradigm shift in my life.
I agree with you. I heard that speech. It was very impressive. And I saw what, your mom, Stella.
Yes.
Your wife. And I know that you talked about your father, Walter. And I remember reading something about your dad. I think you did school when you were 13, and you got to go work with your dad, right?
Well, you know, my dad was a unique man, a great man. You know, didn't have a whole lot of financial means or those things, but knew how to put things in you that you would live on forever. You know, my dad would tell me all the time, even when I was that young, a young man, he said, you know, son, life's about decisions and consequences. He says, you can make a decision, but you got to deal with the consequence. I said, okay, Dad. And then, you know, in my own wisdom, I said a couple of days later, Dad, I think I'm going to make a decision. You know what? I want to quit school. He said, that's your decision, son. You can make that. But the next morning at 5:30 a.m., he was knocking on that door. I said, what's up, man? I'm not going to school. I quit. He said, yeah, that was your decision. Now, the consequence is you got to go to work with me.
And
he took me out on that roof. My father was a roofer. Laying roof. I mean, and his light was sunlight and floor. So we were up at 5:30, had to catch that sun. You left when the sun went down. There's no clock on the wall. The sun is the sundial. That's your clock. One day out there was all you needed to know. This was not for me. And that day, I took the pants that I wore to work with all that semen on. I had those pants. I took them to college. I kept them. And I thought to myself every day, if I don't do what I need to do here, I'm going to have to go do that. And that was not an option.
That's an amazing story. And I think a lot of our listeners can understand, because you
you go through a process in life, and I realize that everything is a choice. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. They think, okay, well, I was kind of pushed into this, or this happened to me out of some sort of reason. But it's because we make our choices, yep, and we live with them. So let's talk about that speech back in 2007. You made a choice. You had an option of going one way with a speech and saying, you know, basically lobbing one out to, you know, to center field, and everybody, oh, this is great, making a simple speech. But instead, you went with a speech that was deep and heartfelt, and has changed the lives of many people as well as changed your life. Tell us more about that.
Well, you know, and I'm not any so brave person. Now, God lined it up for me to take that approach, because I was, you know, just like anything else, you're worried when you open up in front of people, because there is no planned way that they will respond to it, or if they will react to it, or how they will handle it. So you're afraid of it, but God set things in motion that you had to that I had to go the way I wanted to go with it. And 05 was my first opportunity to get in the Hall of Fame. And 05, I probably would have given that speech, more about me, and I told y'all this, you know, that kind of thing. And he didn't let me in. And that was first ballot Hall of Fame. And then 06, you know, it was Troy Aikman. I said, okay, God, because I'm in the house. I'm like, why won't you put me in? I'm doing the thing. I'm at the Barter's house. I'm doing what I need to do. 06, okay, I'll go in with Troy Aikman. He didn't let me in. I never cried so hard like I did those 2 years.
It was all about timing.
And what it was is 2 years he took to get me out of me.
Exactly.
He said, I'm going to get you out of you and put in you what I needed you to do what I told you to do. And that's really what happened. Because after that second year not getting in and crying, I said, God, I'm done. I can't put this kind of brain equity into it again because it drains me so much. I said, whatever you will with it, I'm good. Whatever you want to do, I'm good. And then I got in. It was amazing. It was really amazing.
So you basically realized, and I think a lot of people listening as well tonight, I mean, a lot of people believe and understand that there is a higher power. And I think that some people realize that they have to let things up to that power, as well as to see where their future lies. And we're not always in control of everything. And I think that's a human condition that we're kind of born into, and that's something you have to relinquish. So let me ask you, how do you define fatherhood?
And I talk about this, and I love what the Bible tells men to do. The Bible tells us to love our families like Christ loves the church. Like, when you extrapolate that and think about it, Christ gave up his life for the church. That's the duty that man has. And we're good when it says, oh, ladies, we can wrestle, and we want to talk about how strong we are. I told you, baby. I told you, God said you got to serve me and all of those things. But now when he says, do what Christ did for the church, and Christ gave up his life, any man that's doing it right, you're going to learn that basically your every waking moment is about how do I get my babies where they need to be. That's what Christ was here for. He was here to give redeeming love and to strengthen us and to move us towards what our Father had planned for us. And that's what our earthly fathers have to do. We have to be willing to make the sacrifices, do what we need to do to move our kids towards what God has for them to do.
And I think that's amazing, and I do agree with you. I think that fatherhood is one of the most important things, and a lot of fathers aren't there.
Well, and look at the numbers, Ash. Look at the numbers. And I, when I came off that podium and people started talking to me and men coming up to me crying about, Mike, I got to be better, you know, because on that podium what I did, I shared how I had failed my kids, how I felt I failed my kids, and I actually prayed in front of everybody, God, help me be better at this. Help me be better at it. And I think it's a prayer and a cry that many men have, because so many men said, Michael, I want to get back. I just don't know how. And I said, if you don't take that first step, let me tell you what happens if you don't take that first step. 85% of the kids incarcerated comes from fatherless homes because somebody didn't take that first step. 90% of the runaways and homeless kids come from fatherless home because somebody didn't take that first step. You know, 75% of kids in chemical dependent homes come from fatherless homes because somebody didn't take that first step. Don't be that somebody.
Amazing. You have an amazing energy and a brilliance about you that is just amazing. And I think that people listening tonight realize the importance of a father. I mean, I went through a period of time for a few years when my dad and I weren't speaking. And I know how that was. And my dad and I have resolved that. And we've come back together. And we're closer than we ever were. But there was a time there that I was making, you know, maybe not the right decisions based on the fact that I didn't have a dad. And it's so important. I mean, I had a dad for most of my upbringing, and I can only imagine kids that their dad just disappeared at such a young age.
Yeah, and you're left now. I was blessed. I had a great father. He's a hard worker, and he taught me how to be a hard worker. I look back, and as I say my own life, I noticed that I got in trouble when I didn't have not just my father, because he had already gone from time to eternity, but that father figure with over me. You know, when I had lost my father, I had my high school coach, George Smith, who had taken me basically out of the ghetto and moved me and given me another opportunity. And I saw him as a father. So I honored him as a father. I had somebody to go to. And then when I left there, I had Jimmy Johnson. And Jimmy Johnson in college, you know, he became that father, and he was a good man, and I love Coach Johnson to this day. And everything had been fine. Then I got Barry Switzer, who I love Barry Switzer as a man, but I just never connected with him like that in the same level that I had with Coach Johnson and Coach Smith. And my issues all began. And I said, wow, isn't that something? And when I came out of them, that's when I heard Bishop Jace there standing over me saying, you know, I heard Bishop Jace, and he's been like that father. He's been a father to a lot of us. And I just thank God for him, man. I don't know where I would be without him and the guidance that he has given us.
That's one last thing before I'd love to do another a longer interview with you. I know that your time is very valuable. I was recently over at the Barack Obama Male Leadership Academy, and they have a Father's Day.
Yes.
Once a month or something like that. And they didn't realize how very few fathers there were that would show up. And so there was only 5 fathers maybe there, and there was about 20 children. And you could see some of the boys walking off, you know, obviously crying,
dejected,
very sad. And so the fathers took it upon themselves to bring the other boys into the group and say, I will be your dad. I will be there for you. It's brotherhood. We're together forever. And you could see those kids light up and change because all of a sudden they realized, you know, someone gives a damn. Someone's here for me. I can be there. And it was a very amazing feeling for them to take it's a village. It takes a village. And sometimes if a dad's not going to show up, if there's another dad available, help out.
And that's what we have to do. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we talk about at the Potter's House. That's what the event was about. About the role. And we all have a responsibility. We all have a responsibility to make it better. You know, everywhere in the Bible, God talks about the power of unity. The power of unity and men. I just want men to come together and understand that. Actually, let me tell you something. I speak with mentor, guide, whatever you want to call, a lot of young men in the National Football League who are struggling with issues, mm-hmm. You know, and I talk with them. I'm part of their recovery team. I meet with some of the therapists. I meet with them to make sure that they're on the right path, which is good for me too, which is good. It's great for me too. But I've realized too, through this, most of those young men with all of these problems, we should call a fruit. When we get down into talking with them and studying what's the situation, we get down to the root a lot of times. It's that father that was not there that has this issue happening with this young man. And we're trying to correct that and get him back on straight. It's one of the most important things that our country is facing today is the issue of fatherlessness. And you got to honor a guy like President Barack Obama, who was without his father and is putting such an emphasis on fatherhood.
I agree with you. And that event at the Potter's House on Friday was amazing. I look forward to more events as well. I'd like to actually have you on another show here in the future to discuss that, because I think it's just so important. Michael Irvin, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, and I look forward to having you back on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Thank you, Ashley. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I can lift you up. I can
show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been discussing fatherhood tonight, what it means to be a father and how to adapt this fatherhood idea to encompass outside of yourself, outside of your immediate family, and to support others that might not have the same family support or direction. You know, I recently met with a principal of a school here in Dallas. The school was the Barack Obama Male Leadership Academy, and we were discussing his school, the role of his parents, the role of a recent father and son luncheon. And it was interesting. I think he said about one third of the boys had a father in their life. And most of the children in the school don't have a living father or don't have a biological father that they see even on a weekly basis, what have you. And they had a father-son luncheon, and there was only a few fathers that were able to be there. And most of the children didn't have a father aspect in their life. And so some kids were angry. Some kids were upset. You know, some were, you know, crying and outwardly showing emotion. And these fathers actually got together and looked at these other children and realized, you know, I'm a dad and I can be a dad to these fathers too. I can, you know, put my arm around them and I can show them love the same as I can my own child. And I really do think that's something that we need to do as a society. I think this is an example of what needs to be done. I think that it takes a village. You know, whether you're a parent or not a parent, when you see others needing guidance or needing help, it doesn't hurt to ask if they need help, because most people are not going to ask for it. Most people are going to outwardly argue or show some sort of emotional stance based on that. But I think when you, even if you are a parent and you see kids that don't have a parent aspect in their life, showing them love, I mean, we're all human.
You know, Ashley, my girlfriend is a first grade teacher, and she's also in a inner city school. And, you know, she deals with this kind of issues every day where there's, shall we say, a lack of support at home. And, you know, in our society today, I mean, let's face it, schools are pretty much raising a good portion of our children.
Yeah, for the good part of a day, from, you know, like 8 to 3. I mean, 8 to 3:30 or whatever the time. You know, 7:45, breakfast. I mean, you know, they show up, and that's a good part of the day.
So, and she'll talk to me about kids where, you know, she has to, you know, talk about their issues, and, you know, what she talks about guidance counselors and, heck, sometimes even social workers, you know, or police, you know, depending on the situation.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. You know, but, you know, that affects, you know, that dynamic, Bill, you know, affects a lot of schools. It's even bleeding into the suburbs as well. I want to go back to what Ashley kind of said earlier. You know, I call it the brotherhood of fatherhood. Whenever I'm at a function, you know, with kids or whatever, and you see another dad, it's that kind of unspoken, hey, I'm in the trenches with your brother kind of thing, you know, because we're all dealing basically with the same deal. And I remember the old days when in our neighborhoods where there were kids that didn't have a father around, there was always an uncle who stepped up. There was always a, you know, a godfather who stepped up.
Grandfather.
A grandfather who stepped up, you know.
And or that, coach. How about a coach?
Or a coach. Or a coach, you know, or administrator at school. And that's what we need now. We need all hands on deck, because if not, the price that we'll pay, and Ashley mentioned some statistics earlier, will be phenomenal in regards to increased prison rates, increased things that are not productive to the society, increase or lack of employable citizens in our country. So it's a big dynamic. But I think as men, we have to step up, and we can talk about statistics. We can talk about pendulums and all of that. But at the end of the day, men have to step up.
Amen. I mean, Eric, don't you think maybe it's time to bring back the shame in being an absentee father?
I think so. Shame works wonders.
There was a time in this country, actually, when if you were, you know, you made babies and made tracks, you know, you were looked at as, you know, scum of the earth.
Yeah. You talk about the shotgun, you know, in certain families, that shotgun was on the boy, too. If you make this child, you're out of my house.
Right.
You lose all support, and you get out there and you figure it out. And it's a cold, cruel world being a guy. But you know what? That's what we're built for.
You know, it was interesting that when I was talking to Michael Irvin, you know, it was very interesting to discuss with him what he's trying to do. And his initiative basically is to, you know, push the fatherhood initiative and give men, you know, a reason to really step up to the plate and recognize what they have, recognize the situation, see it for what it is, understand that this is a big deal. And also the concept of it takes a village, you know, to be a supportive part of that village, you know. And I think when you see someone falling down, you see him falling behind, you can help that person and directly help yourself. You know, that cycle of care and that cycle of help is reciprocal. I mean, think about it. When we give to other people, we might not be wanting anything back, but in turn, our life is more fulfilled. We learn more about ourselves, as well as, you know, we're actually helping other people be more prosperous people.
Yeah.
And whether it's a kid, whether it's an adult, I mean, you know, again, adults are just older kids. I mean, you know, nothing's changed.
Well, you know, Ashley, I think you hit on it. You know, it takes a village. I can remember, and Eric, maybe it was this way when you were a kid, mm-hmm. too, when I was a kid. If you messed up, then, and your parents didn't know about it, you had neighbors.
Yep.
Who, you know, would rat you out.
For lack of a better term.
You know, and so I can remember when I was in grade school, our next door neighbor who was, they were retired, and I was up to no good one day, and she went and told my mother, and I didn't sit down straight for the next week. But see, after that, I was really careful about what I did, because there was that fear.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%, Bill. You know, it's called accountability. And I think, you know, when you talk about trends and all of that, I think then people realized the value of kids. People realize that if I don't correct this kid right now, then I'll be running from that kid tomorrow. You know, if I don't teach this kid a certain value system now or be a part of that equation, then I'm locking my doors when this kid, you know, walks by when he's old enough, you know, to start shaving and all of that. So there was a sense of collective accountability and responsibility to our kids. Our kids are a precious blessing, and we have to treat them as such by Amen. Any means necessary, Amen. By any means necessary.
I agree with that. And I also think I think you're kind of tuning into this is to be a part of the solution, not the problem.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people might be part of the problem, and really you got to be part of the solution. I think you have to check yourself. You begin with checking yourself. You know, if you're having problems as an adult and you're listening to this show, or you know someone that is, you know, it's your past. You can't help others until you help yourself. And I know a lot of times, you know, parents have had bad childhood themselves, and it's hard, but you got to break the cycle. You got to stop that cycle of not being there or what have you. And I think education itself is so important. So sometimes people might need to see a support group of some sort to kind of get back on track, to realize how to deal with their problems. And, you know, getting asking for help and getting support is not a sissy thing. And I know that's a funny word, but it's not sissy.
Guys, it's not a sissy thing. Trust me.
It's admirable. You know, it's really right. admirable. It's really the right thing to do. I mean, to do what's right by others, to help yourself, because if you're not able to see things clearly or have the right perspective, you can't really help anybody else.
Yeah.
You can't help anyone else.
Men act, okay? And I'm nothing against the young ladies, but, you know, one of the tenets of being a man is to act. When you see a wrong, you act. When there's a void, you step up. When you create a situation, you're part of the solution.
You man up.
You man up. If you produce a child, that's your seed, and you're involved in that. And so, you know, nothing against,
It's my seed, woman. I'm here to plant my seed.
It's my seed, and I will cultivate my garden to grow in the image of me.
Oh, amen.
Boom, boom, boom. But, yeah, so it's, I mean, I'm passionate about it, and this is a great, great topic. I hope you guys are listening and tuning in out there.
Awesome topic. Great show tonight.
Thank you, Ashley. I learned a lot tonight. Appreciate you.
E-Rock, awesome. Bill, Chris, nice. Good to have you.
Nice, nice. Step up. Be a man.
Right.
And fatherhood is something, and so is motherhood. Don't take it lightly. Understand that this is a big deal. You are one child or child's solar system. You are their stars. You're everything. You're their moon. You're their planet. You're everything. Everything you do is an example. They listen. They learn from everything you say and everything you do. So realize that you have a lot of pressure on you. And at the same point, you can create something really amazing. So stay tuned, because guess what? We got a great show for you next week. And Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back. And, well, you know what? We'll be back in three shakes.